If you're listening to this podcast right now and you happen to be in the car, I want you to pull the car over as soon as you can safely, get it to the side of the road, open up the passenger side door, and tell your ego to get out. Then once your ego has like left the car, come back and join me. Now, for those of you who are not in the car right now, you're in your office or your cubicle, you're going to need to ask your ego to grow legs and get the hell out of there. Because you and I are going to have a real serious heart-to-heart about prospecting. My name is Paul Castain, and I'm the author of the Your Sales Playbook blog and your host for the Sales Playbook podcast. I've personally trained over 10,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. So before we begin, I have a really cool freebie I want to give you. You guys know how I like to roll. I like to start with some kind of freebie for you guys. And this free resource is something that I have never given away before. I mean, I only just started talking about it, I would say, the last week, maybe 8 or 9 days. I mean, it's really not that long. And what I did was I started a brand new sales community over on Facebook. Now, for those of you who know about the work that I've done over on LinkedIn with our LinkedIn community, I grew that community and I'm still growing it. We're at about like 59,000 group members over there. And not only are we at 59,000, but we, you know, there's a certain spirit to my community. First of all, people actually answer your questions when you ask them in my group, which is kind of a cool thing. Also, we don't like allow any type of self-promo. A lot of the groups, they allow articles to be posted. No articles are allowed to be posted in my group. No combativeness or any kind of like these nasty things that you see going on in some of the other groups. And what we decided to do was start a much smaller community over on Facebook. As of right now, we're at about, I'm guessing, about 150, somewhere around there. And, you know, hey, look, if I grow it to 59,000 like the other group, that's all right. But that's really not what I'm aiming for. What I'm looking to put together is a group of aspiring sales rock stars, humble students like you and I. I know you have to be a humble student because you wouldn't be listening to my damn podcast because I'm not that entertaining. And people who want to learn, but more importantly, people who understand that in order for communities to thrive, we all have to participate. So I'm going to say something to you that might not sit well with you. I'm not going to apologize for it because I just need to be like fast forward and bring it to the point that I could actually deter some people away that probably shouldn't be joining this community that I have. If you're a person who joins groups and then sits on the sideline and doesn't participate, I respect that that's your way of doing things. Just don't join my group. And I'm going to tell you why. And it's a simple reason. It's like I don't want lurkers. I don't want people just sitting there. And you know how it is on Facebook. You have those people that just, they never participate. They just like look through your pictures and shit. And it's kind of creepy. But this isn't a creepy reason why I'm saying I don't want you joining. It's just that I don't want to have 59,300 members and then realize that of the 59,300 members, we have like 100 or 200 people that actually participate. That to me is like unnecessary. Plus, you know, what happens when you grow like large communities? And if people aren't participating and they're always thinking, well, you know, there's 59,000 of us and you're always looking for other people to do the contributing, well, then sooner or later, the people doing the contributing say, why the hell am I always being the one like to come up here and feed the community? And they get discouraged. Also, too, I think when you think other people are going to be doing it, well, then there's no need for me to do it. And then everybody sits there and there's a bunch of crickets. So what we're hoping to do here is build a community where people actually like to participate. And what's really cool is that we're only up and running now for about a week. There's 150 of us. And already, we have a much higher level of engagement than the group with 59,000 members, which is crazy because you might be thinking, all right, well, maybe you didn't have a lot going on in that other group. Well, at one time, we had lots going on in that group. So I'm really happy to see this. So if you'd like to come by and join us and you'd like an opportunity to be able to brainstorm things for free in a safe environment with other humble students just like you, I want you to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/Facebook. And that's all lowercase, just so you know. yoursalesplaybook.com/Facebook. Now, time to get down to business. I'm hoping that you ask your ego to leave the room or get the hell out of your car, because we need to have a heart-to-heart today. And the heart-to-heart that we need to have is really around the subject of prospecting. And here it is. I'm going to put it out there, and then I'm going to offer a lot of, you know, reasons why I think you should be doing things perhaps a little bit differently, and even raise your awareness as to why you might be going about prospecting a certain way. But the ego has to be out of the car and out of the room in order for you to honestly assess where you're at in this whole thing. So here's the thing I'm going to put out there. You ready? Many of you are clinging way too tightly to just the phone and or email. Let me say it again. Many of you are clinging way too tightly to the phone and or email. Now, let me just tell you why I think that's kind of a bad thing and why it would be a better thing for you to go beyond the phone and email. Now, I want to be clear. You guys have been listening to me for a while. You know that, like, right about now, I really feel this need to almost over-explain the point. Many people, when they hear me say to move beyond the phone, especially moving beyond the phone, they get shitty. Like, it's like I just went and said, hey, I just want to tell you, you know, your girlfriend is a skank. It's like, seriously, like, they take it. Like, you know, like really get indignant. Like I insulted their precious cold call or whatever it is. I want to be very, very clear. What I'm talking about is not ditching the phone. I'm not talking about ditching your email efforts. I'm saying that it is the 21st century and you had better be doing things additional, like complement to those other things. So if you like open up your mind here and you allow yourself to embrace additional platforms, there are some reasons why this is beneficial to you. So the first one is, I don't know if you've ever really thought about this, but different platforms give us different ways to convey and package our message. So let me say it again. Different platforms give us different ways to convey and package our message. So let's take email, for example, even though I said we got to move beyond email, right? And I'll even come back to the phone in a minute too, just to be fair. But email, think about it. We have the ability to provide visual representation of a point that we're trying to make. We can also like include attachments. We can embed a video. We can use links. And we have a whole variety of email tactics that we can be using that in a way, if you think about it, think about email tactics that I'm hoping that like you're aware of and that you use. Many of them are really just exclusive to that platform, that you really couldn't take that and apply the same tactic over with the phone or over on LinkedIn or whatever. So some advantages there. Now, let's talk about LinkedIn. Part of the reason why LinkedIn is so valuable is that it gives you the ability to kind of bump into your potential clients as well as your clients online. Now, the reason why I think that's so important is because I talk about this concept of propinquity, which is nearness, closeness, and kinship. And if you're on LinkedIn and I'm on LinkedIn and we're able to like bump into each other maybe in the groups or perhaps in our status updates, how about mutual friends and interests and things like that. Well, it helps to create a stronger sense of familiarity. So the other things that we can do with LinkedIn is that we're able to demonstrate our expertise. Now, we can demonstrate it in a well-written profile. We can demonstrate it with content that we put out, both in our status updates. How about LinkedIn Publisher, the groups? We can also have, like, afforded to us the ability to get warm introductions from mutual friends, right? That's a good thing. So now let's go to another platform, Snail Mail. We have the ability over there to do something handwritten and do more of a personal touch. We're living in more of a virtual world right now. And if we can go and move some things into real time like this and something that is more personal, well, it's another opportunity to stand out. But also, we have the ability with Snail Mail to physically send something to them. Again, if we're living in a virtual world, that's an opportunity to stand out. Now, you might be thinking, well, what kind of things could I send other than, like, you know, a bulk mailing piece or whatever it is? Well, how about, like, evidence? And when I talk about evidence, I'm talking about things to eliminate or, like, you know, reduce the probability of doubt or skepticism or pushback, disbelief. So what are some forms of evidence that I might be able to send along through Snail Mail? Well, I mean, I can do video. You might be thinking, well, no, that's just like online. No, it isn't. I can burn a DVD, right? I can send you samples of something to demonstrate my work. I can create mock-ups and dummies and prototypes. I can send along pictures. I can get more creative and make like a kit or something like that. Again, give you the ability to kind of have that tangible feel to the message that I'm trying to get across to you. But there's more. I mean, again, how about like dropping in? Now, some of you are against it. Some of you are for it. So just as a general statement, I mean, gives you the ability, the old name with a face, right? I mean, also too, I think with a drop-in, you can stress the proximity of your business and their business. People over the last, I don't know, like decade, better part of a decade anyway, have been more in tune with this message, thanks to American Express, of the small businesses, right? And buying local. Well, this is a great way. I mean, if you know, you're dropping in and you're saying, hey, you know, I'm really sorry. We're literally like three blocks away from you guys. And, you know, just like any other neighbor, I wanted to introduce myself. I realize you're busy today, but I was hoping just to kind of leave these things off. And you know what? While I have you here, after we say the world's quickest hello, I'm hoping maybe we could set up a day and time that's more convenient with you. I realize you have other things going on. So you have that ability to do that. Now, over to the phone, because I don't want to diss the phone. You have the ability to have people hear your voice and understand that you're a human being. With your voice, you can convey your personality. I mean, people tell me all the time, when, in fact, this is a great testimonial to how all these things can work together. A lot of people who become my coaching clients, one of the first things they say to me when they talk with me, they say, hey, Paul, I just got to tell you, you've been riding shotgun with me in my car via your podcast for the last, I don't know, whatever amount of years, right? And I feel like I know you already. And part of that is you're hearing my voice. You get a sense for my personality. Another dimension to, you know, expanding upon the work that I do in written form that you guys consume. So I think it's important for that. And also, how about conveying tone? I think it's very, very important. I mean, how many people like misinterpret things online and through email and things like that? How about another type of platform, if you will, and it's referrals. With referrals now, we're able to bypass gatekeepers. There's no gatekeepers when it comes to referrals. By the way, I should have mentioned that about LinkedIn. We bypass gatekeepers with LinkedIn as well. No gatekeepers there. Also, too, getting back to the referral, I mean, we can have our message conveyed from a trusted friend or a business associate. So that's really, really important. So the first reason why you need to be thinking beyond the phone is because different platforms give us different ways to convey and package our message. The next one, this is one I talk about a lot, the next reason why you need to move beyond the phone is because everyone has their preferred venue. Every single person. You have yours, I have mine. Your prospects, your clients, your friends, your associates, your coworkers, people in your LinkedIn network, we all have our own preferred venue of communication. Now, here's the problem. If you're calling me and I don't like the phone and that's all you have, you are shit out of luck. Seriously, it ends there. And that to me is a really limiting philosophy for us to have that, well, I'm only going to reach out with the phone. And the same goes for anything, by the way. I mean, I know people, they're quote unquote social sellers. So that's the only way that they go about it. And some of them, not all of them, some of them, they will not pick up a phone. To me, I think that's limiting because they're missing out on the people who actually want to have a conversation, who prefer to have a conversation. And we could take this with every one of them. I know people who they only will like do traditional networking. They're all about it. And they're trying to do business with me and they're constantly inviting me to networking events and everything else. I know I should be doing networking and I probably will get back to it, but with my travel schedule, ain't gonna happen. It's just not practical for me at this point in time. At another point in time, it will be. Right now, no. So those people right there have missed out on an opportunity because if they were communicating with me in places where they could see that I was embracing, whether it be online or maybe, hey, maybe I'm that guy who wants to get the phone call. They don't know that. They're missing out and you're missing out. So the next thing is, and I talked about this before, the next thing that's afforded to you by mixing it up is creating that sense of propinquity, that bumping into people and, you know, that nearness and closeness and kinship. And you're not going to get it by continuing to just do the same thing over and over again. Let me give you two very good examples, if I do say so myself, because I'm just thoroughly impressed with both of these people and organizations that I'm going to highlight right now. Out by me in New York, there are these two attorneys. And I always talk about them, Salino and Barnes. And every time you turn around, there is a Salino and Barnes commercial. Then you're driving in your car, and you hear like some kind of Salino and Barnes commercial on the radio. So you see them on TV. The next thing you know, you hear them on the radio. I'm driving along, and right there on the damn bridge is a Salino and Barnes billboard. And I'm sorry, here, you know, I'm going to get in trouble here. But I'm laughing because somebody went and, like, blacked out the guy's tooth in a smile. And I think it's freaking hysterical. So, you know, I got to applaud the ballsiness of that move. It's my inner sixth grader is like, why didn't I think of that, right? But anyway, so but, you know, they do all kinds of things out here, and they sponsor things. But what happens is when you keep hearing of a person's name and you keep seeing them and you keep hearing them talk and you keep bumping into them and the interaction isn't creepy or weird and there's, you know, there's a good vibe going on, well, then it creates that sense of familiarity that I believe precedes the know, like, and trust thing that we like beat to death in sales. So I think it's very, very important. Here's the other example. There is this dude who works for like everybody's favorite place in the world, a funeral home. And this guy is like so well loved. I mean, seriously, it's like he people bump into him all the time. I've bumped into this guy so many times. You'll see him at any kind of a community event. He's sponsoring something, he's helping out, he's donating his time. You'll see him, you know, like he writes columns in the local papers about grieving, you know, a loved one and things like that. You'll see him at local also charity events. They've been known and especially this guy, to help families who couldn't afford the funeral costs. So this guy will be right out there front and center trying to help those families raise money to be able to foot the bill. And he'll cut the cost even so that make it more affordable. So you bump into this guy left and right. In fact, I was even kidding around with him one day. And I said, you know, actually, I don't think, like, just like for the first time in my life, man, it's like I'm actually looking forward to the day I die because I know that you're going to be taking care of him, man. You're a really good guy. I mean, seriously. So it's like, which is like really like a weird thing to say, but it's amazing when you have these different things that you do. And people keep bumping into you in a casual way, how it really expedites the know, like, and trust thing. How? Well, it's by creating that sense of propinquity. Propinquity is kind of like the finger that goes on the fast forward button to establish know, like, and trust. And you can't do that if you just show up and bump into them in one place, especially, you ready for this? If you're not even bumping into them, I mean, if they're not picking up their phone, how do you bump into them, right? And I also think when you're only using one venue, people notice it a little more, like, you know, like, here's another call from Castain. It's like, geez, doesn't this guy have anything else to do? Oh, it's Castain again. So it can become a bit much. But also, too, I think when you're using multiple forms of outreach, you're afforded something. Now, remember before I said to you that when we use different forms of outreach, each one of them gives us options that don't exist on the other platforms, right? Or maybe they exist and we could do it more in those things or in a different way, more visual way, a more tangible way, in a way where they can click on a link and we can get more immediate action from them. We can deploy different tactics, things like that. But now, when you use multiple forms of outreach and you use them properly, you can actually get them to work together instead of like a siloed approach. You can get them to work together. So what do I mean by that? I mean that, okay, so if I'm using different types of outreach, well, I mean, I can call you. Yes, I can email you, but now I can reach out to you on LinkedIn, maybe invite you to come join my group or whatever. On top of that, I'm going to be utilizing snail mail. I could also utilize the concept of warm referrals, and perhaps we have a mutual friend that could introduce us. So there's a lot of different things, and each thing can support and smile at the next move. And, you know, I think a lot of people, what they do is they use too much of a siloed approach with anything that they're doing, by the way. And the example that I want to give is something that I've done quite a bit. And I feel so sorry for this person because if he's still listening to my podcast, he's going to say, this guy is not letting me live this down. But I always tell the story about the person who sent me a Superman's cape. And it was just a really good, like, really cool gesture. Now, you might be thinking, like, of all the things, a Superman cape. Well, first of all, it caught my attention because it's not like I received 20 Superman cape that week. So I get this thing. And then what he did was he did something brilliant, which a lot of people don't do. A lot of people send something creative and they leave it up to you to connect the dots. And sometimes it gets absolutely like freaking ridiculous, like what people will send you. And not that this has happened, but it's almost like it might as well. It's almost like, okay, so you've sent me this like bag full, like this Ziploc bag full of like pocket lint and broken eggshells. I failed to see the, like, what does this have to do with your solution? And then that's it. There's no follow-up or anything else. And you just leave it up to the other person to be like to experience shock and awe. And in that moment, they're going to call and go, dude, that was like the most incredible thing. I get it. I get what you're trying to say. Like, that is an incredible, it doesn't happen that way. So what this guy did was he like wrote a note and he tied it in and he explained to me why he was sending me the Superman cape, and just kind of to paraphrase it, he was saying, and he demonstrated that he did his homework. He said, I figured anybody who is a father of three, still married to his high school sweetheart, is running a business like Castain Training System, running a LinkedIn group, putting out all this content. You've got to be Superman. And then he went and he got brilliant. And he said something along the lines of, you know, I actually help create Superman. And, you know, I have a solution and I have ideas that I share with business owners that, you know, helps create that Superman. And I don't remember how he ended that letter, but I never heard from him again. So, you know, unfortunately, maybe I insulted him because I didn't pick up the phone right away and say, hey, thanks for that Superman cape. And I probably should have. But I forgot about him because there was never anything else after that. He went and used a siloed approach. So that's what happens many times when you're using one venue. Or what happens, especially like people with email, you start regurgitating the same shitty message over and over and over again. And the trend that I'm seeing a lot, and I've ranted about this quite a bit, it's when somebody sends you an email and then you don't respond to it. And then I'm guessing like 2 days later, you're getting the same email now forwarded to you from the sent box or sent file, if you will. And it's something like this. Any thoughts on the other email? Then 2 to 3 days after that, you get a forwarded of the forwarded message. And it's kind of like, you're just circling back or just want to, you know, bump this to the top of the inbox or whatever it is. And it's now what we're doing is we've got the follow-up, but you're not changing anything up, especially your message you're not changing up, but you're using the same venue to give me the same message. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is why so many people have been disregarded and deleted. So that's one of the things I want you to think about. The other thing is a really selfish reason why I think you should change it up. And it's because I think as sales professionals, we're not wired to really do one thing for any length of time. It's the example that I give all the time in my coaching practice. I'll have my clients, and we always end my coaching sessions, just so you know, with action. I think it's really important to get the action verbs going. So I'll always like end it by saying, okay, we've just spent 45 minutes together. What is the action that you feel you need to take over the next 2 weeks before the next session? And, you know, they'll tell me, and invariably, if we're talking about, you know, the phone, people saying, okay, so listen, you're going to be so proud of me because right now I decided I am going to block the entire, like, this Thursday, the entire day from making calls. And my response to that is, hey, listen, gold star, but I got to ask you something. Like, are you effing crazy? And I won't say the F curse to my clients. I don't. Only select few will I ever say that to. And it's only because they said it to me first. Then I live in New York, and we are required to return fire on matters of the F-bomb and the middle finger. It is actually rude. Seriously, if you visit New York, you must know the culture. It is rude not to give somebody in the car, in the next car, the middle finger, you know, like reciprocate, a reciprocal finger, they call it, I believe, in the etiquette books. Look it up. It's on the internet somewhere. If not, I'm writing that damn book. So, but seriously, in fact, I'm saying seriously. I don't even know what the hell I was talking about. See, this is what happens. But no, yeah, I tell him, like, what's wrong with you? Like, why would you do that for, like, an entire day? And we're just not wired that way. As salespeople, we have the worst case, as was just demonstrated, of ADD on the planet. Seriously, like, we are just not wired to do one thing and that's it. Otherwise, we would not be in sales, right? That's one of the reasons why we're in sales, because we can mix up lots of different things between servicing clients to doing things internally to prospecting and all different types of options of prospecting if you're mixing it up and all that. But here's the thing that you need to know about the way that you're wired. And all human beings are wired this way. You ready for this? I'm going to play Dr. Phil right now. Hell, I'm bald enough to do that. You ready? And I think I'm just as much of a tool as that guy to pull this off. We tend to avoid the things that make us uncomfortable. And many people, you know, they're just uncomfortable with cold calling. But they feel funny saying something, and we're actually going to talk about that in a minute. They feel funny saying something in front of their peers because that's not a popular topic to say, I really don't like cold calling. Seriously, that's like how you get like thrown out very, very quickly of like the room and like shunned. I mean, that's horrible to do that. And, but what happens is when we don't really like something and it makes us uncomfortable, we avoid it, which, and forgive me, this is why many of you are avoiding doing things other than the phone. You're very comfortable with it and you've done it forever and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, God forbid, you know, I say, hey, do some snail mail, do some stuff on LinkedIn. Well, that would require learning new shit. And that makes you uncomfortable. So what do? You avoid it. But it's the same thing with the phone now. If it makes you uncomfortable and you are avoiding it, and the way you're going to avoid it is through avoidance activities. Avoidance activities would be things like going back into the plant and like dicking around in the plant. And that is the technical term for it. You can look that up too. Dicking around in the plant. They call it that. I think it's somewhere in a college book. Dicking around in the plant. And I even think there's some companies that have a no dicking around in the plant rule. And they should if they don't. And if you do that. I don't like the way that sounds. If you do that, I think the least you can do is credit me for coming up with that, because I'm really trying to make an impact on the sales community with things like that. But anyway, seriously, what happens is like we go out in the plant, we're dicking around with that, or we start doing administrative work, or you know what we do? I had to service my clients. I mean, really? We really have to service them that much that we can't like prospect and everything else. So we will go to all these extremes to avoid it. But if the phone is the only thing you have and deep down you don't like the damn phone and you don't want to do it, you're going to find reasons not to do it. You're going to have things come up. You're going to allow people to get on your schedule during a call block that you had set aside for Wednesday from 1 to 3 or whatever it is. But now, if you make the phone a part of a well-balanced mix, now, if you are uncomfortable with it, which, by the way, you're allowed to be uncomfortable with it. You're allowed to hate the damn thing, for all I care. But now what you can do is you can set up, almost like those Pomodoros, we call them, where you set a timer for a certain amount of time. With the Pomodoro technique, they advise 25 minutes. Still to this day, don't know how the hell they came up with the number 25. I don't know. Maybe they got hammered drunk in a bar and, you know, somebody before they passed out said the number 25 randomly. And now that's how they do it. Probably the same person who decided on the serving size being two cookies, which if you guys follow Brian Regan, you know, he did an entire comedy routine on that. Two cookies. When like my serving size, which I ripped off from Brian Regan, is by the sleeve. I agree with that. But anyway, so they like set a timer for 25 minutes. And if the phone is bothering you, you say, okay, I just got to get through this 25-minute calling session. That's not going to be all of the calling that I'm going to do. I can't make a living on 25 minutes of prospecting. But now when that's done, I'm going to shift to another one of these activities. Maybe I'm going to do some LinkedIn work, or maybe I'm going to start working on some referrals or whatever. Mixing it up like that and then going back to it, well, you worked a well-balanced mix, and you're getting work done. So, and that's one of the things I would invite you to do, and that's why I asked you to ask your ego to leave the room. If you're not getting the results that you want to do, many times you can break it down to activities and skills. So, like, the first areas you look at is activity, and you might think that you're making the calls, but you have all these other things that creep in. So track your time. Be aware of it. Be relentless. When you make an appointment with yourself and treat it with the same degree of respect that you do with prospects and clients, like you wouldn't blow off that appointment just for the hell of it. You've got to be the same way with yourself. When you put it on the calendar, you stick with it. But mixing it up is going to help with that. Now, I want you to think about why you're not moving beyond the phone beyond the phone and email. And some of these reasons that I want to give you that I've heard, that I've witnessed, just to like raise your awareness. Again, I started off today by saying, ask your ego to leave, because it might have happened already during this podcast, you might have found yourself getting defensive to something that I said. And hell, I'm not the all-knowing Uncle Paul. I'm not going to be like perfect in every instance and always spot on, right? You know, I make mistakes too. But if you found yourself pushing back, you need to ask yourself, well, why? Why did that irritate me when Paul was talking about I'm probably doing it because of this or whatever? And you need to think about that. But while the ego's out of the room, I want you to think about if any of these reasons might be you in terms of why you're not moving beyond the call. So the first thing, right, and this is an easy one to fall like victim to, it's because cold calls or the phone or warm calls. I mean, and let's do a timeout there. I mean, seriously, it's ridiculous. Every time somebody uses the phrase cold call, you have 20 million people that want a definition of the word cold call, whatever. I mean, picking up the damn phone and calling somebody, you haven't done business. I'm talking about the phone. Now, the reason why many of you are using the phone is because it's generating results. That sounds like a really idiotic thing for me to criticize. God forbid, like, you're getting results. Paul would sit here and tell you to hang your damn head. Well, what I'm telling you is that, you know, as good as those results are from cold calls, warm calls, you know, lukewarm calls, calls in general, you could actually be getting better results if you complemented those calls with additional forms of outreach. Why? Because if you're continuing to call people that want no part of the damn phone, you are not getting through to them. Now, you could think this is a waiting game. In some cases, it is. But you might find that you're fast-forwarding those results by, in addition to the phone, that you're showing up in places where that person wants you to show up. We don't know where that's going to be until we try. That's why we have a well-balanced mix. The second reason why you might not be moving beyond the phone and or email. You might find yourself saying, well, this is the way I've always done it. It's a habit for you. I really think it's important that all of us, I know I have to do this because I'm in sales a really long time. You have to question, like, regularly why you're doing things. And it doesn't have to be this dramatic conversation. You got to sit there and fight for your life. But you have to challenge why you're doing things, because sometimes you're doing things because it was the very first way you were taught to do it. And I remember a while ago, a guy I worked with just really laid that out for me in a good way. And he said, you know, many times we default back to the first thing that we learned in sales, which for a lot of people is, you know, picking up the phone and everything. And he said, we always default back to the first way. And his way of describing it, he said it a lot funnier than I ever could. It was just like, you know, I don't know if you know people like it. It's just sometimes just the way they say it, right? It's like, even like with comedians, right? Sometimes it's like the way they say it. It's just so damn funny. He said to me, we always default to the first way we learn something, which is why you have so many grown men and women saying bye-bye at the end of a conversation. That was how you learned to say goodbye when you were, what, a year old? Whatever the hell it was, you know, months old, right? So, you know, you have to challenge what you're doing every now and again. So, you know, you might have a habit that's limiting you, and I'm telling you, by only sticking to anyone, you could pick anything. Again, if you think I'm sitting here and being unfair about the cold call, you could change the wording that I've used. And you could take it to mean that I'm saying that if you use LinkedIn exclusively, you're missing out. If you use referrals exclusively, you're missing out. If you're using traditional networking events exclusively, you're missing out. I have lots of, you know, people, peers, if you will, that all I see them doing is really, you know, just the thought leadership stuff and all this content. Content's really important. If that's all you're doing, you're missing out. So, you know, that's an important thing to think about. But there's more. Now, this next one might really require you to ask your ego to leave. And it's along the lines of, you know, it's all you really know how to do. Again, my job is not to make you feel bad or beat you up or criticize you. It's to get you to open your eyes and maybe have a little bit of a tougher conversation with you than you've been willing to have, even, you know, even with yourself. And you might be thinking, well, this, you know, I do this because it's all I really know how to do. My advice to you would be to carver-side learning. And, you know, it's an interesting thing, and I'll put myself out there as an example. I've had to do this several times in my business. And most recently, it started a week ago. I knew that I needed to start this Facebook community. And without going into a big story, which I will actually go into the big story down the line, but I've noticed that on LinkedIn in general, for a long time, as much as I love LinkedIn, the groups, to me, are dying off. And I hope that I'm wrong with this. There's even rumors circulating out there from some people who really know what they're talking about. And they're saying that all evidence is pointing towards LinkedIn discontinuing those groups in the near future. Some people are saying as early as like the end of April this month, 2017. Other people saying certainly by the end of the year. So whatever, right? But either way, it made me say, you know, I need to not only have a backup plan, but you see, I have to practice what I preach, because there are people right now listening to this that say, I love the idea of a community, and I love the way that you're bringing this over to Facebook, because that is my playground, man. That's where I love to interact with people. And you know what? Over on LinkedIn, I just wasn't feeling it. So I missed out on an opportunity to interact with you because I wasn't showing up where you needed me to show up. So the bottom line is, though, is that I avoided it for a while. In fact, I'm going to make another confession. I actually started the group and put it in a holding pattern. I didn't like invite anybody into the group. I started the group 2 years ago in 2015. I wanted to lock in on the name. I wanted to have the community ready to go at a moment, almost like in Boiler Room, man. You remember they had that office, man? They were ready to move in there if like the feds came after them. That was your Uncle Paul, except there was nothing shady like that. That was a bad example to give, but it's a damn good movie, right? Wasn't it? Come on, admit it. But so I've been uncomfortable with it because, like, I really know LinkedIn. I know the ins and outs. I mean, I've put together training for people who have wanted to start communities. I've consulted with people on how to grow engaged communities over on LinkedIn. And now here's Facebook, and I don't know a damn thing about it. So you know what? I started jumping in, cannonball into that damn pool. There is no shortage of information that's available to you. So my advice to you would be to, you know, look up articles and podcasts and books. And, you know, keep in mind when it comes to different platforms for communication, if you've been following me for a while, do you guys realize that every 2 weeks I do a new webinar? I am always doing a different webinar every 2 weeks, right? I do tons of them every single year. I started the schedule last year every 2 weeks. And my focus this year has been on moving beyond the cold call. So, you know, like that might be something for you to consider. Maybe like investing in yourself and learning about that, or hiring a coach to train you on some of these other venues. The next reason why you might be avoiding moving beyond the phone is that, you know, and this is an important one. Somebody actually called, not somebody, a lot of people have been calling this to my attention. And once they did, I started noticing something. And I want to see if, like, maybe, you know, like you're noticing this too. Many times in sales, anything other than the phone and certainly email, it's frowned upon. And every time I say frowned upon, I'm not going to say it because it's inappropriate, but I think of that scene in The Hangover when he's talking about something on the plane and it's more like frowned upon, not necessarily law. And those of you who've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about, and you know why I'm not going to mention it on the damn podcast. We're not ready to go to that level in the relationship yet. But seriously, it's like it's frowned upon. And it's like frowned upon by their boss. I work for a guy like that. If you didn't like you could tell him, seriously, that you just brought in a $1 million deal, but you brought it in by a way like that wasn't like to do with the phone. That guy would sit there and critique you and make you feel like an asshole because you didn't do it by phone. And then he would give you a lecture about that. And every, I mean, it was just like, you know, and also because I'm confessing a lot, I was actually not that guy because he was a dick. But I was I'd like to think a cooler version of that person. But my sales team at Dale Carnegie, and over when I went to Consolidated Graphics when I was training sales reps, I mean, that was the plan. You needed to have that phone glued to your ear. So you might have that kind of, you know, like environment where it's being frowned upon. Also, I had a boss that frowned upon anything to do with like social networking. He just didn't think it was legit, and he was, you know, critiquing it and everything else. And it was like we'd have these arguments about it, and it was ridiculous. So, you know, there's even peer pressure, and I want you to think about this one, from, like, obviously, like, you know, it's more peer pressure from your peers, internal, and in the sales community. On LinkedIn especially, it's like I see these, like, Wolf of Wall Street types, and they're, like, you know, full of testosterone. And they're basically, some of these people say, like, you suck and you're lazy if you don't pick up a phone. And I disagree with that. I think that I don't think you're necessarily lazy, and I think that sooner or later comes down to a phone. I think you should be incorporating it in there. But, you know, before we make the statement, I know several people that probably sell more than most of the people listening to this podcast right now. They sell more through seminars. And I know other people, because I've been studying a lot of, like, online marketing, that make an insane amount of money. Right? You know, sitting in the upstairs of their home doing internet marketing. And I know other people who are doing it with, you know, speaking engagements and everything else. I will still tell you that my money is on the person that does it like all, that has a well-balanced mix. So it's not just a phone thing. It's anything that we're clinging too tightly to. But the community that we're a part of is a really unforgiving community. It's a really, it's a brutal community where, like, if we're not doing the things that are socially acceptable in the sales circles, you know, now you're a slacker. Now you're going against the grain, and now, you know, you're an upstart and everything else. You know, and the other thing too is that some of you, and it's really part of, you know, this thing with the, like, the phone being frowned upon, is that some of you feel like you need the boss's approval in order to do these things. Or, you know, you're constantly trying to get your boss's approval, like I was with social. And, you know, my whole thing was that I was like, screw this, I'm not trying to get his approval. And, you know, we actually even had a few heated discussions where he thought he could tell me not to be doing this. I was like, well, you know, I mean, last time I checked, I'm doing it on my time. It's my account. I'm not saying anything on behalf of the company. I am putting my thought leadership, as in Paul Castain, which last time I checked, you know, no shackles on me. You know, you don't own me, dude. So tough shit, really. That's where that's going. So, you know, stop waiting for the boss's approval, because I'm also going to tell you that you're probably not going to get the boss's approval with certain things. If you have people that are hardcore cold calling, they're not going to really be like that open. And if you've tried to have that conversation with them and they're not, I'm not saying that you'd be sneaky about it. I'm saying when, like, you're on their dollar, you know, do whatever it is they're telling you to do. But, you know, there's before and there's after hours. And a lot of these things can complement the stuff you're doing 9 to 5 or, you know, 7 to 5, whatever the hell you're doing. So, you know, I think that's something that's really important. Remember, a lot of the time, anything other than that phone call is frowned upon by the community, by your boss, by your peers. So you need to be aware of that. And also, too, every once in a while, and I'm serious about this, you really have to have the balls to give everybody around you the finger in the most respectful way, if you can believe that. I don't wait for other people's approval. I can tell you that when I first started embracing social back in 2008, I caught a lot of shit about it. And, you know, I just made a note to give a damn what other people thought, and I decided to keep doing it. I will tell you that when a few years ago I started charging for webinars, people, other thought leaders were even like, you know, wow, that's pretty ballsy, man. That's idiotic. You know, people are giving it away for free. And I'm like, hey, that's cool. Let them give it away for free. I'm charging. I'm not looking to, you know, I give away more than enough free stuff between my podcast and, you know, the 3,000 posts that are on my blog. I'm really not looking to create a, you know, a tribe of freeloaders. What I'm looking to do is get my thought leadership out there, but it's not the Castaigne Foundation. So that was one of the things that, you know, I had to get over, right? Just like looking for that approval. And then really almost last but not least here, many of you prefer the phone and email. Simply put, you just prefer it. And, you know, I heard somebody say something the other day, and I'm going to paraphrase it because I've heard this forms of this quote used so many times. It's not like somebody's quoting anyone. It's just this is kind of how they say it. But a lot of people will say, I prefer the phone because nothing beats picking up the phone and talking with someone. And I'm going to tell you, remember, sometimes you got to have the balls to say wrong answer. And I'm telling you that is the wrong answer. Now think about it. That is not a popular opinion for me to have. That's one that many of you listening to say, yeah, and we're done with you, Castaigne. You know, let me explain something to you. When you make statements like nothing beats picking up the phone and talking with someone, you need to understand that that's the wrong statement. You know why it's wrong? Because to a person that hates the phone, everything beats the phone. To, you know, if you made that statement, nothing beats getting a warm referral from LinkedIn. Actually, if you want nothing to do with warm referrals and referring and networking or whatever, and you don't even go to damn LinkedIn, everything beats LinkedIn. Nothing beats networking and, you know, being after hours and whatever, whatever the heck you want to say, trade shows or whatever it is. Actually, everything beats it. If they don't even show up, everything beats it. And, you know, there's also forms of that statement that we hear people making. I prefer it. I want you to think about that because you might be in there. Well, I prefer the phone. Here's where the tough love has to come in. And here's where you have to realize something. You ready? This is going to be brutal. But nobody gives a shit what you think. I do. Wait a minute before you get mad. Before you say, oh my God, man, he's going over. This guy, you know, is bonkers. I care what you think. But do you really think that the people that you're trying to reach sit around and say, you know, I was thinking that I'm only going to accept phone calls, but first I just got to make sure that that's something that Mary approves of and that Mary prefers. Or you know what? I'm thinking about just really putting a lot of time on LinkedIn. But before I do it, I really hope that, you know, Sam really approves of that and Sam prefers that. Nobody gives a shit what you prefer. They're too busy caring about what they prefer. So if you find yourself defending the phone or defending any one type of outreach with a statement that goes something like, well, I prefer it, or nothing beats it, understand that right there is that moment where you should be very grateful that, you know, you can blame your ego for that. Seriously, you can. Because, you know, your ego is going to tell you, well, you know, I prefer it. And, you know, we like doing this. Not necessarily the right answer. And you're limiting yourself. So keep that in mind. So really, there you have it, folks. I mean, you have several reasons why you need to be mixing it up. Several reasons why you might be avoiding it. I'm hoping that you've really approached it the way I invited you to, with not having the ego in the room, not defending any one venue, like, you know, like forever. We have to mix it up. So, you know, the thing I want to tell you guys before you go is that my emphasis this year, and I mentioned this earlier a little bit, has been on mixing it up, moving beyond the call. So far this year, I've done webinars on how to use LinkedIn. I've done webinars on how to work your referrals. Now, we're actually going to be doing yet another webinar, another way for you to mix it up. And it's going to be this Thursday on 420 day, April 20th at 11:30 a.m. And we're going to be talking about snail mail. In fact, we're going to be talking about 25 ways for you to stand out with snail mail. And I want to lots of confessions today, man. I feel like I'm in the sales playbook confessional this week. There's actually like a lot more than 25, but I had already come up with the name. I already had my graphic designers design the banners and everything for it, and the cover for the training manual. I was like, you know, I'm just gonna stick with 25. There's gonna be more than 25. I promise you that. And it's something that you might want to check out, because many times, like I told you before, you're clinging to things because you just don't know how to move beyond them. And I'm planning on showing you several ways, several tactics. And, you know, a lot of people even look at snail mail like, well, yeah, I use it to, you know, send information about my company and send a thank you card. If that's how you look at snail mail, if we're playing like word association, I say snail mail, and you think thank you cards and sending shit about my company, you definitely have to like attend this webinar, because you're missing out. There's a whole world beyond that. Seriously, there's a whole world, and I'm going to open your eyes to it. So if you like to learn more, and I'm hoping you do, because otherwise we just talked about mixing it up, and then you can just go right back to what you're comfortable with. If you're willing to be the humble student and start like learning about things beyond a call that can complement the call, not replace it, I want you to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/snailmail. yoursalesplaybook.com/snailmail, and that's all lowercase. So with that, I am Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit us at yoursalesplaybook.com or come hang out with us in our brand spanking new Facebook community by visiting yoursalesplaybook.com/Facebook.